The epistle is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 10. Brethren, let us not covet evil things, also as they also coveted. Neither become ye idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed fornication, and there fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted, and perished by the serpents. Neither do you murmur, as some of them murmured, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them in figure, and they were written for our correction, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore he that thinketh himself to stand, let him take heed, lest he fall. Let no temptation take hold on you, but such as is human. And God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but he will make also with temptation issue, that you may be able to bear it. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 19. At that time, when Jesus drew nigh to Jerusalem, seeing the city, he wept over it, saying, if thou also hadst known that in this thy day the things that are thy peace, but now they are hidden from thy eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, and thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round about, and straiten thee on every side, and beat thee flat to the ground. And thy children who are in thee, they shall not leave in thee a stone upon a stone, because thou hast not known the time of thy visitation. And entering into the temple, he began to cast out them that sold therein, and them that bought, saying, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. When Jesus drew nigh to Jerusalem, seeing the city, he wept over it. These words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, on June 6th in the year 1755, Nathan Hale was born in Coventry, Kentucky. Hale was a very intelligent young man, and he graduated with the first honors in his class at Yale College. He took a teaching post shortly after this in 1773, and he was teaching at New London, Connecticut until 1775, when he was faced with a dilemma. Should he continue to teach, or should he join the fight for independence and the freedom of our country? It was then that he received a most encouraging letter from a former classmate and close friend of his. His friend Benjamin wrote to him concerning his dilemma. He said, "Was I in your condition, I think the more extensive service would be my choice. Our religion, the honor of God, a glorious country, and a happy constitution is what we have to defend." From that moment on, Nathan Hale determined, for the love of God and country, to join the militia and to defend our country. He was immediately accepted into the militia and even given the rank of first lieutenant. Not long after, on September 12th in 1776, he volunteered to make a spying reconnaissance mission for General George Washington. Nathan Hale, it might be noted, was the only one in the militia who was found willing to risk his life to obtain the information that was so badly needed. Hale was caught, though, by the forces of General Howe, and he was convicted for being a spy. Then 10 days later, on September the 22nd in 1776, as our beloved country was less than 3 months old, Nathan Hale was hanged by the British. By all accounts, his death and the moments leading up to it were most painful and gruesome, yet he met them all in a most edifying and God-centered way. We do not know the exact transcript of his farewell message, but it has been handed down to us that most famous sentiment, that he regretted that he only had one life to give for his country. And what a strong patriot he must have been to give that one life for his country, and to set such an example that it would be passed down through the ages. For there have been many spies that have been put to death for failing in their mission, but none of them hold such a high place of honor, and none of them showed such great patriotism as did Nathan Hale. And we ourselves, my dear friends, must remember that patriotism is a virtue which we are all bound to practice. In justice, we owe love and respect to our country. You know, it would actually be a sin to say that one country is just as good as another, or to have what is called the cosmopolitan spirit, which says that wherever I do good or wherever I prosper, that is my homeland. You see, it's no mere chance where we are placed at our birth. God himself has chosen in which country we will be born as the principle of our origin. And we can see then that if God places us in a specific country, that we must love and serve it to the best of our abilities and take our obligation serious towards the United States of America. Our Lord himself, as he was a perfect example of all virtues, was an example of how to practice patriotism. To understand his patriotism, we need to look at the opening phrase in today's gospel. We must consider what it means that the eternal Son of God wept over the city of Jerusalem. Imagine that fact, that God himself wept for these people, even though he knew that they would turn their backs upon him and upon his laws, and that they had already so many times turned their back on his father's laws. Our Lord, as God, knew that the very inhabitants of this city would soon be rioting and clamoring for his death by crucifixion. He knew that the chief crime of these people would be his own passion and death, and that in 70 years after that terrible agony and death, Jerusalem would be a leveled wasteland, because of the part the Jews had played in putting him to death. Nevertheless, knowing all of this, our Lord truly loved the sinners, although of course he hated their sins. And on account of the love he had for his chosen people and his countrymen, he wept to think of their imminent demise. These tears that he wept teach many lessons, but for us today, we can learn from them the lesson of patriotism. And well, you must remember then that as good Catholics, we are called upon to be true patriots and true lovers of our country. Now, this becomes a difficult matter when the country has politicians, citizens, and a mass media which represent it to the world as a scandal. As the world sees our country, one might say that it is degenerate, unnatural, and immoral. But nevertheless, simply because certain citizens choose to live their lives in such a way, we must never turn our back nor cease our prayers from our country. We must remember that Jerusalem at the time of our Lord was itself filled with offenses towards God. Its people had in many times and many instances turned their back on Almighty God. The politicians and the religious leaders, just like today, had instituted their own religion and their own customs in the place of the one true God. And as for the common citizens of Jerusalem, we know from different instances in the gospel that there were well-known sinners even in that city itself. The Jewish leaders who were on the lookout to put God to death were themselves filled with the greatest crimes and failings. But our Lord once again saw past their sins. He knew that despite all of these sins and negligences, they were still his people, and he still loved them and sought to save each and every one of them. And so did he weep and pray for his country. As good Catholics, then, pray to God that he restore our once great nation. Let us, too, remember to pray, to be a good example, and to sacrifice for our country. And in our lives, we must follow the exhortations which St. Paul sets down in today's epistle, so that we do not find ourselves being just another one black mark on our country's record. After all, if we are falling into the sins or the occasions of sin that St. Paul mentions today, then we are working not to build up America, but to destroy her and take her down, just like so many others. When St. Paul then says to not become idolaters, we must ask ourselves, do we place anything in our lives that we give more superiority to than God? Is there any person, place, or thing in our lives which keeps God from being number one? St. Paul also mentions that we must never tempt God. In the way of patriotism, this can happen when we become discouraged over the state of affairs in the country, and we give up hope or say that it is left to God to decide how he's going to save America without adding our own prayers, sacrifices, and good example. If we were to do this, if we were to say that it is all up to God and there's nothing we can do, then we would be tempting God to perform a miracle for which we have not made ourselves worthy. And so we must at all times be on our guard to do our part without tempting God. And throughout the entire reading from the epistle, St. Paul exhorted us to love God above all things and to not fall in the sins that we see surrounding us. St. Paul told us that God will help us in this. He said that God is faithful and will not suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able. And when temptation comes, St. Paul says that each temptation that we stand strong against with the help of God and our efforts will help us to be even stronger the next time. That is what he meant when he said that God will make an issue of temptation so that you will be able to bear it. Let us then, in true patriotism, give the one life that we have, just like Nathan Hale did, for bettering our country. We may never be called upon to give up our life for our country, but we can spend the years that we have here in this life praying and sacrificing for our country. And uniting all of our efforts to the intention of Our Lady, the Immaculate Conception, who is the Queen and Patroness of our great country. She will not let us down if we first do our part. And as I mentioned, as the patroness of our country, she has more at heart the success of our country as a God-fearing nation than we ever could. With her help then in our efforts, let us imitate our Lord, who wept and sacrificed over his own country, his beloved fatherland, Jerusalem. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.